Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Settle back now, content, comfortable, well-fed, and ready for some fine entertainment. Is everybody happy? Then let's go. It's showtime.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
Most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a voice. Welcome. Happy Sunday. Rate, review, subscribe, whatever platform you listen on. We appreciate it.
It could be a happier Sunday, but
could always be a happier Sunday. Everything's awful right now. It's terrible. So I found something out. We're actually on Amazon. The problem is, I just tried to do this like a year ago and I forgot all about it. The problem is, I don't know how to get her to play it, if you ask her. But you can look it up. You can go to Amazon Music Podcasts and do it that way. Not that it matters, because if you're already listening, then you don't need to listen on Amazon. But anyway, so I thought that was kind of funny. Someone brought that to my attention. But because it's a different logo, and they're like, is this the same thing? I'm like, yeah, it's the same thing. I split up the images on each of them because Armchair has an image that they use. I just want to see where they're putting their stuff at. So if you see a different logo, that's coming straight from our feed. That's what it is. So not that it matters. But anyway, on Amazon, yay. It only took a year. All right. So, right? I mean, do you remember when I was trying to do that, right, Joe?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. I had forgot all about it. So the Orange get dropped. By number 25 Pitt, 21-10. Syracuse obviously sitting at 0-2 overall and in the ACC. You'll hear from us. We'll hear from you in fan feedback. And if you had told me Juwar Jordan would have more yards on 13 carries than DeVito had on 15 pass attempts, I'd probably laughed in your face, but it actually happened. So anyway.
Well, if you would have told me we only would have scored 10 points, then I probably wouldn't have taken Syracuse with the points, but
they did cover.
They still covered. They did.
Well, let's jump right into this with the coach montage.
Well, you know, Rex has been out there before. He's started some games and he's played some games for us. It was, you know, obviously it was something that we needed. It was the first touchdown of 2020. And, you know, there was a big load off everybody's shoulders. Wish we could have got a couple of more, but it wasn't meant to be. And our defense has just been playing outstanding. If you cut off the fourth quarter when you start adding up how long they've been out there, and they've probably been out there too doggone long. I mean, their first six quarters of football has been outstanding versus two really strong opponents. So you would like to think that if we can get something going on offense and special teams, that we're going to have a defense that we can really be proud of when the smoke all clears. But obviously, we got to make some changes, and we got to start getting that ball moving in the right direction. Well, there's no doubt that we can clean this thing up, and we're going to clean it up. You know, like I told Matt previously, I think the defense has played extremely well for two games. It might be some of the best defensive football I've seen since I've been here. Okay, and that's not trying to say anything bad about anyone else. If you take away the fourth quarters when they actually have been out there too long, based off of how many three and outs we're getting on offense. I mean, their first six quarters of football has been outstanding. Okay, now it's also the biggest drought that we've had on offense, and we've got to get that changed. When it goes back to the red zone question that you asked me, I think we need to take a long, hard look on what we do in the red zone. Not maybe because of us, but because of our defense. We've been there quite a bit, and yet we haven't had an opportunity to score a touchdown down there yet. And I think some of that is we have to really look at what we're trying to do down there, whether it's fast, whether it's slow, whether it's personnel, and make sure that we're putting our best foot forward when we get opportunities from the defense. Because in the first two games, the defense has continuously showed that they will give us opportunities down there. We're going to evaluate the tape based off of situation and what's going on. And then when it comes to any of our family members, we're always going to make the decision that we think is best for the family. And both of those guys are in it to win it. You know, Culpepper already had a package. He went in on his package. Tommy understands he has a package. Those guys want to win more than anybody. And it's not just those two guys. I know the media likes to go straight to the quarterback, but there's a lot of things that are going out there, and there may be more changes than you guys really, from a knowledge standpoint, even realize, which may or may not go on. But we need to look at the tape. Speculation over that stuff's not going to do anybody any good. But the big thing is this. That's coaching, too. We've got to find a way to make sure that either we can protect him or that he's capable of protecting himself. And then if he doesn't do that, then we have to do other things. But this is not we're not going to get that young man hurt, okay? And you're right. We've had, I think it's 7-7, 14 sacks. And at this stage of the game, we're going to set the record. And I don't plan on setting the record in 2020.
All right. The coach montage is brought to us by BetOnline.ag, as well as this show is brought to us by BetOnline.ag, as well as Armchair Media. So with that said, we will maybe discuss the coach montage a little bit, besides the fact that the way they do it now is awful. With the Zoom press conference is a horrible format, and I feel like if we can go out there and play football, we should be able to have a normal press conference. I don't know why they have the issues, but they have the issues. So, with that said, football's back. We all know football's back. You got the NFL's in full swing now. The NCAA's in full swing. We still got NBA basketball going on. Baseball, you got the virtual stuff. Everything's over there at Bet Online. You might not be able to get to a game this year, but you can still get in on all the action over there at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spread totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any other place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off by wagering on win, division, and championship futures now. Head to betonline.ag today to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, Bet Online. All right. One more time. Well, probably not one more time. Probably going to be a lot more times. But we got to talk about it again, man. You got to clean up down low. I got just the thing for you, with a cute little deal to go along with it. All right. The Lawnmower 3.0 is a premium electric trimmer that's designed to give you a confidence boost through body image, skin-safe technology. It reduces the nicks and tugs on everything down below. The Lawnmower 3.0 is also waterproof, and it comes with an LED light so you can manscape in the shower or in the dark, or in the dark in the shower. And also, just released from Manscaped is the Shears 2.0 Nail Kit, which is the perfect add-on to the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. The Shears luxury four-piece nail kit, including tempered stainless steel tools, and it includes tip tweezers, round point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The Shears 2.0 nail kit allows you to pluck your eyebrows and trim your nails in style. On their website, you'll also find the crop preserver, anti-chafing deodorant for down low. Okay? No one likes the chafe. All right, get rid of the chafing. Smell good. Get the cologne. Get the crop preserver. You can get all of this at manscaped.com. And for our listeners, you will get 20% off plus free shipping with the promo code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code armchair. Thank you, Manscaped. Okay, so, Joe, where would you like to start? Do you want me to just go into good, bad, and ugly? Do you have anything to say about the press conference?
Yeah, I mean, I did watch it. And to your point, I know it's bad, and obviously when you have to rely on internet service, then that's going to happen, right? But yeah. I just don't know if they're still allowing the press to travel and everything like that. So maybe that might be why they're doing it. But I do agree that it's pretty bad.
That is why. I imagine that's why. But if we can, you know, we've had fans in the stands, and if we can have, you know, networks out on the sidelines. I'm not saying people need to be on the sidelines, but if you ever looked inside a press conference room after a game, not exactly a packed house. Okay, yeah. You put on the mask and you ask a question or whatever. You know, if masks work, they work, right? So, I mean, you've got a small room, yes, but you can get in there and spread out and be able to have a normal press conference. That's just my opinion.
Understood. And if they're all there, then I get that.
Right, exactly. So it is kind of agonizing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll refer back to some of the stuff that Baber said throughout the show. So all right. We don't really need to hit anything specific.
All right, well, let's do the good, the bad, the ugly from me, myself, and I. The good. All right, the defense, obviously, we already know this. I can't point to this every week as the good, okay? So at some point, I'm going to have to start picking some stuff. We know the defense is good. Mekel Jones, his second interception in as many games, which is great. One good positive, you know, there are some positives to take away, and the young linebacking core that we've got out there. I mean, I saw Marlo Wax get some action in the backfield. I saw Canton Arcou. Thompson.
Stephen Thompson.
Yes, yep. Stephen Thompson. All played great. All were getting in on the action. And you know, these are 1-2 year guys, and we're gonna get to watch them, you know, for a few more years. They're gonna be excellent. That linebacker core, I feel like it's gonna be great. So more good. We scored a touchdown, a 69-yard bomb from Culpepper to Harris. Obviously, the highlight for Syracuse in the past two games was solely that. And also, we beat the point spread. So, that's good, too. It appeared the Orange did start to get a little bit of a run game going, maybe a little bit. I know it wasn't much, but they did rip off a couple good ones. They added Sean Tucker into the mix. Really good. Jawar Jordan, 13 for 40 yards, and Tucker, 4 carries for 23 yards. So the bad, I can't help, but I feel like we're seeing with the offensive line, especially you know, in the protection end of it, did it improve from last year? I mean, at all? It's kind of, you know, I don't know. It's frustrating to watch. So, unfortunately, I'm putting the officiating in the bad column too. There were some just kind of really bad calls. You know, I hate to even bring up the refs, but it was. So, the ugly. I simply didn't understand the play calling, especially after you're at the 14-yard line after a turnover. You throw on first down for 7 yards, and then you run two quarterback draws and have to settle for a field goal. I think it's dumb. You know, and there was plenty of other calls bad calls to go around, but that was the worst one. I feel like we left 4 points on the field there. So, And I've never personally called out Babers on the show, but letting the time dwindle down with 3 timeouts in your back pocket, it was at least a bad look. I don't understand it. I was confused by it. It seemed like the perception to people watching it, not just me, because I was on Twitter, is like they just gave up. It's like he just gave up. You got your team out there, your defense is out there, doing the best they can, and It didn't look great. DeVito, 9 for 15 for 32 yards and one interception. Negative 11 yards rushing and sacked 7 times again. That's 14 sacks in the last two games. And if he wasn't going to get sacked for the rest of the regular season, he's already averaging 1.2 sacks a game. With that said, we did put out a Twitter poll. And, you know, obviously, this was just... I put this out and I preface this that this is just based off of the thoughts I got on after the game from everybody. Okay. It was the talk of the game and, you know, the quarterback situation was the talk of the game and for obvious reasons. So I asked Twitter, who do you have at QB? And 49% out of 309 votes say Culpepper. 28% out of 309 votes says DeVito with more Culpepper. And then 23% DeVito. I feel like DeVito is probably the best we got. If Culpepper was better, I feel like he'd be starting. They have a package for him. He's a senior. He's obviously developed. He's got some skill. So they've got something put together for him. But Joe, I mean, we know how fickle the fan base is, but... the quarterback controversy already two games in. I mean, there's so much to say about it. There's so much to say with Tommy holding the ball, with some of the accuracy issues, with the offensive line. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. Oh, Lord. I mean, again, I think this is a situation where you really can't blame one person. Right. Obviously, the offensive line looked like they were starting to get it a little bit together last year by the end of the year. So something's obviously going on there. There's some type of cohesiveness or something like that. I mean, I even could tell yesterday that we were making efforts to have tight ends in there, to have extra people blocking, and it was like it didn't matter. So there's that. I still think that Tommy does look a little shell-shocked from time to time. He looks at his first progression, his first read, and then after that, he's looking to see who's near him, where do I got to go, how can I extend the play, and his eyes aren't downfield at that point. Now, I don't know if it's, like I said, I know that there's some short quarterbacks, and I know he's not the tallest guy, so I don't want to make that, a reason, but there's a couple times there where he got sacked because he's got to make the decision, and he's got to throw the ball, right? We saw that little pump fake where he got sacked from behind, and when that was the hit that made him come out. But mm-hmm. I kind of wish that he had the confidence that Rex has, because you can just tell that it's a little bit different. You can tell that Rex has got a little bit of swagger. He's got the confidence. He's a little bit taller, so I think he might be able to see over the offensive line a little bit better. But he just doesn't have the accuracy. He doesn't have the arm that Tommy has. So I don't really think either of them the answer. And I think really what it comes down to is even with this type of offense, like, I don't really know. I feel bad for the offense coordinator. I know it wasn't going to change that much, but between losing your top two running backs, losing another receiver that had a senior year, I just don't know what there's just a lot they have to figure out, man, because they're filling up spots in the offensive line where they thought maybe Dakota Davis was going to be healthy and that Chris Bleich might get that, that waiver since everybody else was during this coronavirus thing. Right. So you have that. And then you have the two running backs that you thought you were going to have. And now you have what? I mean, I saw Sean Tucker out there more than Markenzie Pierre. So that's kind of telling me, at least running the ball, that's telling me that Markenzie Pierre isn't getting it done. So you're looking at probably right. Sean Tucker and Juwan Jordan being some of the main running backs.
I thought Sean Tucker did pretty good too. I mean, as a side
I did.
Note.
I did too. There was a point in that second half where it did look like we got a little bit of, run game, but all it takes is to fumble like we did or to get stuffed. And the next thing you know, at second or third down, pass. And then, now we're punting. It's sad because I just think that it's a combination of everything. I think it's a combination of not enough time in the offseason, of not really having necessarily a quarterback that's 100% confident or ready to play the position. I think Tommy would be a lot better if we had a decent line with a running game. And, the players around him, I think he's being asked to do too much. And It's just not working. And, you know, like I said, even the wide receivers, who knows? Maybe the wide receivers, they can't get open or they're getting pressed on the line, you know, and our offensive line isn't gelling and working together. Play calling might be a little off. So, I mean, you throw everything together, and I think what you're seeing is it's just a perfect storm for possibly the historically worst offense.
Well,
that we've had.
You'd think a couple of adjustments should have, would have, could have already been made. I expect more of like a dink dunk type game. You know, Tommy's got to get the ball out quicker. And maybe you're right. Maybe he just can't go through his progressions as quick. And he just kind of, he looks at one and then he's like, oh, crap, you know. But I mean, he missed a wide open screen that on that interception. Like, I mean, they had the blockers there and everything. I felt like... You know, that would have probably been a first down. It kept some momentum going. It was just like, I don't know. But, like, as far as, you know, like what I was trying to say with the offensive line, it is what it is. The offensive line, I feel like it is what it is with who we've got in there right now. And like you mentioned, it did improve last year. So I hope I'm wrong. But without different pieces, I don't see how it's going to, I guess, is what I'm saying. So... I mean, with all that said, and you think about how Tommy's been playing and how he plays, like, I don't want to say he plays scared, but he's timid. You're right. Rex has got a little bit more swagger. He's got more confidence walking on the field. Tommy right, doesn't.
But he can't throw the ball in the
he
ocean.
Can't. He can't. He's not so accurate, guys. We saw what Culpepper did at the end of that game. He threw the last two, three series.
Threw that one up.
Threw one beautiful pass. Let's not forget when Clayton Welch threw one beautiful pass too.
And then it was
calls for Clayton Welch to be the starting quarterback, and you know,
yeah.
Just unrealistic.
Yeah, and that was a blown cover too. So Pat Narduzzi even spoke to that going into halftime. So I mean, it's rough. It's hard to watch. It's worse than last year, and I didn't know that it could be. Because last year we had playmakers,
we had an experienced running back too.
Yeah, so. We had experienced running backs, and I mean we had our top three running backs.
Yeah,
and now we're relying on redshirt freshman running backs, and offensive line has, you know, obviously get a little bit better, and receivers that they're not used to being in the spotlight. And you can tell because, you know, in the beginning of the game, Tommy had somewhere there were some drops too. And I'm not just going to put it all out there, but there was a couple that he threw in there that looked like they were too tough for his guys to hold on to. So, yeah, I don't know. I think you can refer back to the press conference, you know, Babers talked about how there needs to be significant changes, and I don't know what they need to do. And I don't know if that means like moving players from defense to offense, because our defense doesn't have a problem.
Yeah,
our
I know.
Defense has been very impressive. I don't know what it is. I mean, I know they talked about Marlo Wax playing linebacker and playing running back, and looking at that linebacker situation, especially with Tyrell Richards back, like, could we afford to move Marlo Wax over? Like, I don't know. I don't know what.
Well, I feel like they're playing their guys to their strengths, right? So if he could, he would. You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe you try.
Right, maybe. You
try that. Maybe they need to fill that void at linebacker more than they did at running back. But there's holes there. You know, the linebackers, I feel like really confident in. You know. But
they're going to have to take a way more simplistic look at it, because the last 2 weeks, albeit two decent defenses. In top 25 teams, but it's got to look better than that. I watched the NC State game last night, and I feel like I know they scored three touchdowns, 21 points in the first quarter or the first half of their first game against a decent Wake Forest team. And I mean, they scored more in one half than we've scored in two games. We don't even have 400 yards of offense in two games.
No, it's like
we have one touchdown. We scored 16 points.
Yeah, 300 like, something yards. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been awful, dude.
There's got to be some type of, I mean, there's got to be a real long look in the mirror and say, like, because this is getting to the point now where you just have to break it down to what can we do? Well, how basic can we make it to make this thing work?
In two games, Now, there hasn't been a lot of guys that catch balls, but none of them have been tight ends. So it's hard for me to go back and think about, you know, if they've even been targeted, but I don't know if they have.
Yeah,
I don't know if they had. Why are you the play calling has been like, I kind of let it go in the first game, even though it wasn't great, but like the wasting the timeouts at the end of the game, and then the short field at the 14-yard line, and you're not throwing to a tight end right there inside the 10-yard line. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a coach, so I don't know. But I mean, if as a fan watching, it's like, what are you doing? You gain 7 yards on first down, and then you're going to run it twice. Like, what a waste.
Minus Taj Harris, I mean, our two tight ends are two of the more, you know, as far as like leading receivers coming back from last year. So, again, it's just, I don't know if it's a situation where it's like a, like, I don't want to say it's a pride or whatever, but usually you get a coach in there and they're like, okay, you know, this is how it worked. This is how it worked last time. This is how I want to do it. And let's make it happen. And maybe you don't get enough time to install it. You don't get enough time with the kids. And really you're just, you know, throwing darts on who should be doing this and who should be where. So this should be a situation where it's just taking a lot more time to try to figure out what these guys can do and where they should all be. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some significant changes, because this isn't doing it. So if this isn't doing it, I want to at least prove, you know, that the guys behind him. I mean, usually in the beginning of the season, that's what coach does. He uses kind of like the older guys, you know, senior laden guys type guys that are that can go in there and that know the playbook and bigger, stronger, faster. But you get those younger guys, you get them 2, 3, 4 games in, they might be ready to come in and overtake someone's position, you know?
There was a tweet that was brought to our attention by Jake on Twitter, I believe it was. And it was at Barry the Lead, tweet quoted a Brent Axe tweet where Brent Axe was, "Dear Sterling, I'd like to introduce you to your tight ends, blah, blah, blah." So someone quoted that tweet, this at Barry the Lead. It says, "McNeese tight ends last season under Sterling Gilbert, 6 receptions for 35 yards and 1 TD. Get used to this." So maybe he just doesn't like using tight ends. I don't know. But something's got to change with the offense. And it seems like the most glaring thing besides DeVito.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where I go back from, like, you know, I don't know if it's a pride thing or it's a this and that. And the coach comes in and wants to use his system. But you got to use what you got.
Yeah, man. So, those tight ends they're decent tight ends. We were excited about them last year. So, you know,
they did good last year.
Yeah. And Tommy needs to work some things out.
Well,
he does need help. Those tight ends could help. You know, some dink and dunks, the screen stuff or the, you know, slant stuff.
And you can set up plays to where you're looking to one side and you got 2 or 3 options right there. So it's not as difficult to kind of run through your progressions and stuff like that. That's kind of the way he's got to get through that, right? It can't be like, my first progression's right there, and then it's 10 yards away down the middle of the field. Like, we don't got that kind of time. It's got to be one of those things where we got some guy maybe going deep, somebody in the flats, someone in the middle, and you just got to read the defense fast and make the decision, you know? There's multiple different types of sets and things you can do for that, but it's got to be quick and it's got to be fast decisions, because if not, then it's going to be the same thing that we've always seen. You know, it's going to be he looks once, nope, and are they coming? He's worried about
panic or try to run up the middle and get sacked, or just hold the ball until you get sacked, or
nope. I mean, it's like he feels the walls closing in, and he's got an internal clock in his head.
I was just gonna say he doesn't even have an internal clock. Like, most quarterbacks got that internal clock that lets them know, okay, I've been here long enough, I need to do something. Like,
oh, yeah.
That play he got injured on, man. He's just sitting there. I'm like, this is going on too long. And sure enough, he got blindsided.
The behind him.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's hear from you.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House, the best damn college sports fans in the nation.
All right. Fan feedback is brought to us by BetOnline.ag. You might not be able to get to a game this year, but you can still get in on all of the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get on everything imaginable this season, from great game spread totals to team and player and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager on than any other place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today. Start off wagering on win, division, and championship futures now. Head over to BetOnline.ag and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, BetOnline. All right, so we are going to try our hardest not to repeat ourselves with the fan feedback. I did my best. I'm a little rusty on picking some of the fan feedback, Joe, so you're going to have to bear with me, okay? So I did my best, all right? And now I've got to read, which is always entertaining for everybody.
Especially me.
Tim on Facebook. We're going to start with Facebook. These are Dino's guys, his system, play calling, and it looked awful. Significant improvement on the defensive side of the ball, which is where I figured this team would struggle the most, but the system seems to fit. This lack of offense is just hard to deal with and almost inexcusable. I mean, we talked about it. What's the 3-3-5 going to look like? Are they getting, did they have enough time to put this thing together through Zoom meetings and what have you? And, well, damn, that freaking defense looks great.
Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with the fact of you look at veteran leadership. You look at the fact that you have a senior-laden defensive line. You got guys like Cisco, Trill Williams, Melifuanu, you know, players like that, that they kind of make it easier with that leadership to kind of learn and go in there. Helps that they're good players, but also, I mean, you look, you've mentioned it earlier, our linebackers are just, they're young, they're athletic, they're faster, and hungry. That's one of those things. I think it's kind of a perfect storm because of the veteran and leadership, but also the fact that I think that our roster already fit this scheme better than the scheme we were actually using before, if that makes any sense. So we're allowed to get our young playmakers out there. We're allowed to switch guys between outside linebackers and defensive ends and safeties and rovers and linebackers and stuff like that. And allows us to get our most athletic and fast players out there. Sometimes we do struggle with lining up in teams that are going to ground and pound us. We're going to have to figure that out and get a lot of help from guys like Cisco and stuff like that. But so far we have, I mean, you look at our defense, we've stopped, I think we've held both quarterbacks to 56 quarterback rating. And I mean, it's not awful compared to what our quarterback ratings have been, but those two quarterbacks are two of the better quarterbacks in the ACC. So
I'm seeing Howell, definitely.
Yeah. So again, I love how fast these guys are, how they fly around, how they hit people. And really, I think it's only going to get better. It's hard to watch, and sentiment's exactly what his comment was about, because that offense is harder to watch than last year's offense.
Very true. And thank you, Tim, for using punctuation and all of the rest. I really appreciate it. You know, that's what really makes it easier for me to read these. Okay, if you're just going to have one run-on sentence, bro, I'm going to struggle with that. Okay, because I don't really proofread these. I pick them. I do pick them. But I kind of skim them. And then, you know, because there's a lot. So, and which I appreciate, but it's work. Dominic on Facebook, terrible recruiting around Tommy. He won a state championship in New Jersey, so I'm not giving up on him yet. Everybody forgets. People were calling for him to replace Dungy after the Tar Heels game a few years back, but that same year, he looked like trash versus Notre Dame. He has the tools. Does he have it between the ears? Okay. I wanted to bring that point up, but I saw it in fan feedback. It's a great point. It is what James said on Twitter yesterday as well, which was basically, He's never seen a fan base love the, what do you say? You will never find another fan base that loves QB2 as much as Syracuse. That's at James Zuba on Twitter. And, you know, it is this knee-jerk reaction to just give up on people and at the drop of a hat, because it's frustrating to watch. Like, I get it, but like, obviously the coaches know better than us. I'll never sit in this chair and know. That's why I question the three timeout thing, but I don't fully understand it. But you've which you never commented on. You just kind of left me hanging with that, by the way.
We'll get to that.
Okay. Yeah, the calling on the quarterback, the backup quarterback, I think we got a good idea. Rex dropped one beautiful pass right into the basket, but you know, we saw he has got some accuracy issues. You know, so you know, does he have it between the ears, Joe? Does Tommy DeVito have, is he football minded enough to where he can get better by just a raw football IQ?
I don't necessarily know if it is a football IQ. You remember he did the you know, the Elite 11 quarterback stuff, right? If he wasn't smart, if he couldn't read and actually do these things, then he wouldn't have been there. The problem is that it's a lot easier to do them without pads and without live action and worrying about someone coming and hitting you. And that's where I've seen the difference with Tommy. And I'm not saying that he's soft or he's this or he's that. What I'm saying is that he can get a little rattled. And I think, obviously, I mean, he was the most sacked Power 5 quarterback last year. So yeah, he's not going to be rattled, right? So that's really the whole thing is that he doesn't have – you see a guy that does not have confidence in the offensive line, and maybe it's even the play calling. Maybe it's even the system at this point. So when you say between the ears, I don't necessarily think that it is the actual arm and that it is the actual, like – his football IQ. I think that if he had the confidence and he actually had the offensive line to stay in the pocket and make those reads, then I think you'd see a better quarterback. But I also don't think that he's set up like a Dungy to where you're asked to do so much to win football games. I don't think he can do that for us. I think he needs more around us. And I do agree with what Dominic said. There does have to be a little bit better recruiting. And who knows, if we had Tristan Thompson and we had the two running backs that were supposed to be playing, then maybe it would be a little bit different, because those do give you better playmakers around you. I don't think any defense is afraid of our playmakers, running backs or receivers. And if they're afraid of our tight ends, they don't need to be.
Barely not. Because they're not getting involved in the game. Heading over to Twitter, at DRadzitz. I believe I'm saying that right, David, but correct me if I'm wrong. Hit me up.
You're wrong.
Probably. Babers took all the hate away from DeVito, showing he's not the blame. Babers has zero faith in DeVito and limits his play. I'm sorry. I'll pull for us always, but this year is scrapped if Babers doesn't get it together. Also showed zero faith in his team at the end. Okay, so he's talking about the timeout situation at the end. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's that Babers has zero faith in DeVito, but he probably, you know, he got rattled. He didn't go back in because they figured, well, what the hell? Might as well just put Culpepper in and finish this game out. I don't need my starting quarterback getting injured, right? So, I mean, he's learned a little bit of that from using Dungy up. You know, Dungy, you know, plenty of injuries to go around, and you don't want to bang him up on the second game of the season. Like, didn't Dungy get banged up on the second game of the season and lasted all year?
Too late.
Right. But zero faith in his team at the end, Joe. That's what I want to hear your thoughts on right now. Give it to me. What?
I mean, as a player, I can understand
letting the clock run.
No,
okay.
I would probably be upset as a player.
Right.
I could also see a situation where, I mean, the confidence. It's hard to say, because as a fan, let's be honest, you scored 16 points the whole season. You're down 11. You've only scored 10 points this game.
Right.
What are the chances?
The chances aren't great, but that's not the point. They probably wouldn't have scored at all. But you at least try. You at least play the game mathematically the way you're supposed to play it with the timeouts and try.
You at least try it.
Who was it that was getting? What was the other game I watched? Louisville. Louisville gave it their all to the end. They were not going to win that game. Okay?
Right.
They gave it their all to the end. They used their timeouts. They still strategized. They still tried to score. It doesn't matter if you're trying to score to win or you're just trying to score to stop the bleeding or you're out there getting reps. It doesn't matter to me. It was a bad look. That's.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay. I understand that.
Okay.
I understand that. Well, it was a bad look.
There's
something going on there, obviously.
Well, he wasn't asked about it in the post game press conference either, which was just shocking to me. Shocking. I can't believe no one
asked
about it.
I'm sure he's going to get asked tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure someone we'll see what he says. At Oil Cuse, need to take into account that we've played two top 25 teams so far. The defense is the best we've had in a long time. The offense is freaking awful. So,
yeah.
We've played some good teams. Now, remember, Pitt's not in the top 25 if all football's playing either, my opinion.
No, probably not.
So, is Pitt a top 25 team? I mean, maybe right now in the landscape that we're looking at, but, you know, just to me, even watching them yesterday, they're a mediocre team, man. They got a pretty good quarterback, you know. They're pretty much.
Yeah, well, the quarterback, I don't think he had that, the one good pass there. They ran the ball. They had some success running the ball. We were worried about Kenny Pickett running the ball, and he had negative, six, 8 yards, something like that. So I think our defense just played. I don't think we understand how good our defense is, but we're not going to beat anybody with this offense. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's apparent. At Donnie_Lake, defense good, offense terrible. I thought Dino was an offensive genius. At Dbone75 on Twitter, is this a sick joke? I'm being serious. I'm so pissed off right now. I don't know where to begin. Play calling was trash again. Just keep running the ball up the middle. DeVito to Harris is still an issue we didn't touch on. Why does this team even have tight ends? We don't use them. Change is needed.
Yep.
Very, very good deal.
And we talk most of the time, we talk about Babers and kind of, but you can tell a lot of times he leaves stuff out there in the presser as far as things that kind of drop hints and stuff like that. And that was one of the things that I got. I wouldn't be surprised if you did not see some type of ridiculous change as far as, like, when he said he was going to change and that he's like, no, I don't think you guys understand, like, come next week, I don't know what it's going to look like, who's going to be out there, but I do believe it's going to be something different. I just hope it's not one of those gimmicky, a whole bunch of trick play type. You know, I just want them to figure out something to establish something, because people have to understand you can't just line up when you're trying to play fast. You can't just line up and pass. You know, people, there's some of these guys that want to complain about the running and everything. Like, you have to be able to establish a balanced offense so that both things can work. So you can't just pass. And you got to be able to try to establish something. And there were certain times when I thought we did. And then it came down to relying on a pass play and didn't work. So again, there could be a lot there. Our pass blocking obviously needs work. Our running backs aren't great at pass blocking. And I mean, our receivers aren't getting open.
Quarterback, receiver, connection off still. I don't know what that is, but like Daryl mentioned, there's always been a problem with Taj and DeVito for whatever reason. It's always been like a disconnect there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Yeah. At Cuse Waterboy, can we give the defense some freaking support? Mykal Jones, Trill, Sisko, and the rest were beasts today. To keep it this close against now two top 25 teams on the road. Well, I don't know if UNC was close, but it was close for a long time, right? just got wore out. So it actually was pretty close for a while. Against two top 25 teams on the road, getting takeaways and doing nothing with it is frustrating. Need to regroup and come out aggressive next week. That's probably my biggest gripe of the whole game, and this is going to be my third time mentioning it, is the backwards lateral fumble recovery in the 14-yard line and getting 7 yards on first down and then pissing it away. It pissed me off so much. It's like, because we watched it twice last week and then we come out and did it again, after your defense is out there busting their ass and getting takeaways and giving you field position at the 14-yard line, like 14 yards. It's all you got to do.
That cost 5 turnovers in two games against pretty good opponents. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and great heads up play too, because Kenny Pickett too, during the replay of that lateral, the backwards pass, he didn't even realize it was backwards.
Yeah, that was Mikal Jones too.
Oh, was it really? Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah, Mikal Jones is there, beast. Pushed him down. He's all over the place.
I know it. Really good. So, anyway. It's really frustrating, and, you know, I guess I do feel bad for the defense. I don't want this defense to go out every game and feel like, you know, like, I don't think tension is the right word, but for the defense to just go out and play their hardest and be this good and not get any support from the offense and just pissing away a golden opportunity to score. That's got to be, like, if you think we're frustrated about it, imagine what how the defense feels about it, you know? So anyways, it's, and you know, it is not easy. It's not easy doing a show when this is our landscape and it's Syracuse football right now, which is like, I'm looking at the schedule and I'm thinking, Georgia Tech, okay. And then we got a week off. And then we got to play Duke. And then Liberty. I mean, is Liberty going to be, then we got Clemson, Wake Forest, Boston College.
Yeah. And I watched that Wake Forest, North Carolina State game last night.
Wake Forest is good, man. Boston College is doing good. Like you mentioned, the first year head coach. I know that they didn't pull it off, right? But they still.
Who?
Did Boston College win yesterday?
Yeah. Boston College beat Duke.
Okay. All right.
27-6, actually. They had it.
So, anyway. At Brett, JB, 13. Offense is trash. Leaving 3 timeouts on the board sends a bad message from Dino. Good showing by the defense again. We kind of touched on that. It sends a bad message. Hopefully we get an answer on that. I don't know what else to say about it. At Cuse Grad, poop emoji. That's nice. I mean, if you're going to sum it up in an emoji, right? At Drew Cuse, right. Defense looked like they learned an entire new defense through the homework and Zoom meetings. Offense looks like they've forgotten everything they've ever known about playing football. Yeah. At Tony Staffieri, no offense, but no offense. Clever. At Jeff Henley, 3. The offense inefficiency is brutal. At Go Orange 44, Babers era needs to end. Time to move on at the end of the season. Year 5 and no progress. 1 winning season in 5 years because of a straight baller in Dungy. We haven't ran the ball since Dino took over. Can't have 80-20 pass-run offense balance and be successful. So, that's some meat we could chew on, Joe. You're hearing a lot of calls starting to come for Babers. Okay. I'm kind of like minded in you in this sense and in the quarterback sense that we're only 2 games in.
Right.
But some good points are being made. One of which we haven't had tremendous progress. Dungy was the one to save that season.
Oh yeah.
And we haven't had a run game. We just haven't. We haven't.
No, we did that year.
Because of Dungy.
Well, because of Dungy, but I mean we had Mo Neal and Dante Strickland. I mean we ran a little bit better than doing now.
Way better. Yeah, but you had, you know, a sophomore and a senior at running back too, right?
Yeah. So, well, it seems to me like if you don't have good enough playmakers around you, then you need to have a quarterback that can at least scramble and make something happen. And, you know, that's just, we don't have that. We have neither.
What do you think about the Babers era needs to end? Time to move on at the end of the season.
I'm still not.
Not there?
I'm still not. No, I'm definitely not.
I'm not there either. I know you're not. I didn't know if you had anything to say about it.
It's overreactionary like most people.
Yeah. Well, how about no progress in 5 years? I mean, we may be losing ground this year.
I think the year of 2020, everyone's losing ground, buddy. I don't really know. There's some teams that aren't playing, right? So, again, I think that, again, I wasn't expecting, you know, superstar status, whatever, but we've seen recruiting go up, and again, I just don't know. In a league like this, I think it takes a little while, and I think that we've seen, you know, recruiting get better. I think more or less some of it has a little bit to do with coaching, and I think that's why we've kind of seen some changes from last year. I think that we started out with decent coaches, and we had, after the first couple of years, you got to remember, after that 10-3 year, we lost a couple coaches because they got hired on to go be head coaches and offensive coordinators somewhere else. So we had to replace them. And I think that we're having a tough time replacing that type of situation. And again, I'm not going to sit here. I don't want to seem like or sound like I'm making excuses for Babers. Right. But, I like him. I like the way that he coaches. I like his class act. His recruiting's gone up. So, again, in this defense and the way that this defensive coordinator looks, the way that just our 2021 class looks, like, we're in the 40s right now in recruiting, and we haven't been that in, I have no idea how long. So.
No, and that's,
my whole thing is that we've gone through this, right?
Well, we said when we're talking, you know, this is our fourth football season, our third football season that we've done, just on the show wise. But we had said, you know, we give Babers, you know, 4 or 5 years, something like that. We're right there. But it doesn't look like there's going to be huge strides until at least next year.
Well, again, I mean, that just comes down to missing on some people. If you miss on your quarterback, if you don't have a quarterback or at least a great surrounding, you know, people around you, like, I don't think that we'd see DeVito being anywhere close to, if this was a senior laden, you know, above average offensive line with a couple running backs and a solid running game, then I don't think DeVito would look like this at all. But the fact of the matter is that they're relying on DeVito to basically have to make all the throws, and they're relying on young players that just aren't ready. So, again, you can look at it as coaching, but there's people that have opted out. There's people that have left early, people that have been injured, transfers, like, things happen. And in a year like 2020, like I said before, like we talked about, like, I'm just happy that we're playing. So I'm not going to sit here and bash on everything that's going on, because I think that a lot of what's been going on has affected how this team was able to actually grow and get better from last year. And I don't think they had a fair shake to do it.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm more conservative on that end. I don't like making hasty decisions, and I don't like, you know, getting on here. We've got to be, you know, this is just a fun podcast. This is a fun show we do. It's not like we're professionals or anything, but I think it's irresponsible to come on here and just rail against people, whether it be coaches or players, or and just act, you know. And no. I think it's down when to put things into perspective, like, yeah, okay, it's a bad year. There's a lot of factors that are involved in this. You got two new coordinators, you've got you know, problems with the offensive line, we had injuries, you know, so.
The problem is there's not enough people that want to go and actually look to see the reasons. I mean, there's reasons why, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I told you, and I'm not doing an I told you so, but I had a gut feeling that told me this Corona stuff for Syracuse was going to put them way further back than other teams. And for a number of reasons. For the two new coordinators, I think we were already behind the eight ball on some stuff anyway. And I think that not getting the spring ball and having things progress the way they normally progress really, really set us back. Set us back more than other teams, yes. Set us back more than other teams. I think...
And I'm just sick of the 3 to 4 year, like, you know, turnstile, right? Like,
yeah,
every 3 to 4 year, oh, let's get a new coach. Oh, let's get a new coach. Like, come on. Why don't we establish some type of environment?
I'll tell you what. You know? I'll tell you what. If it continues like this, things don't improve, and it keeps going like this, I will have a better understanding to the people now that are calling for it. But let's see what happens at the end of the year. Like, coaches, part of what makes a coach great is the ability to overcome adversity and kind of roll with the punches and be able to acclimate to things and make the changes that are necessary to have your team improve. Okay?
Yeah.
So here we are, week two. It's time to do something. So, you know, look at the offensive line last year. We mentioned it earlier in the show. Babers made that decision to make some adjustments on the offensive line. It worked. So we're starting a new year, different personnel. Let's just give it time. You know, good recruiting class coming in next year. I don't think this year's a wash by any means. We're going to go back to the dome. There's no fans allowed there, is there? Next week.
I don't believe so.
Students even? No? So dumb.
But again, like this, it just helps, right, overall, because, again, I mean, you just have to establish an environment. Like, you don't want to be that school where if you don't make a bowl game 2 years in a row, after 4 years, you're out or something, you know, like.
No, I know. You don't want the coach carousel. No, we've been doing that.
Yeah, and in recruiting while you're – head coach is on the hot seat, you know, like you don't want to have to deal with that. A kid and their parents don't want to have to wonder if I'm going to go pick this school for a coach that's only going to be there for a year, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, let's just go. He's a likable guy. People outside of Syracuse like him. The fans like him. He's an upstanding citizen. Like, give him time. Let's establish an environment. Let's not just after 3 or 4 years of.
We're in year five, to be fair.
Well, yes. Okay. Year five. Again. This is where you see a little bit of difference, but I feel like that's kind of what you need to establish is something like that. You watch something like Duke, how long has Cutcliffe been there? He was there for like 5, 6, 7 years before he actually like had a decent year, and then they were good for a little while, and then, you know, he went down a little bit, but they don't fire him every time that he doesn't make a bowl game or he only goes 6-6, right? So
you look at teams like Louisville. I mean, Louisville, just the turnaround, NC State, the turnaround on Louisville. Boston College is decent. They got a new coach. Well, that's not a real good gauge. But Louisville and I think NC State, watching those teams kind of turn around, turn a corner, and be kind of some of the real competitive teams in the ACC. Florida State, that's another one. A couple years ago, they were horrible. So...
Well, Florida State is still trying to figure it out, and they've had their coaching issues, and they've had their quarterback issues. Again, that's NC State. At one point, they kept putting in quarterback after quarterback into the NFL. Like, when you have NFL quarterbacks, and then you get the recruiting classes like North Carolina State gets, you know. North Carolina is pretty good high school football state, and again, down south, it's a little bit easier to get some of these other guys. So they're in a better recruiting hotbed, and they traditionally get better recruiting classes than us. And if you have a good quarterback, I'll look at it every single time. Like, if you have an NFL type quarterback or athlete as your quarterback, then you're going to get chances to win no matter how good you are. If you look back at Syracuse last however many years that they've made a bowl, look at it. Look who we've had, right? You had Ryan Nassib, who went to like 2 or 3 bowl games under Doug Marrone, and he was an NFL quarterback. Terrell Hunt, 1 year, we got in there, and he was a good athlete who can move. And then we had Dungy, who took him 3 years, right? So If you don't have a good quarterback, then you could look like what NC State looked like last year, or what we looked like last year, and what we look like this year. That's just kind of how it goes. So we missed on a quarterback. We don't have a quarterback that is going to do what Dungy did, or, you know, anything like that, and step up and lead this team the way it needs to be led right now. And that's just the pits.
Hey, go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, rate and review us there. If you like the show, let us know about it. Be like new listener Hiawatha Jackhammer with all the kind words. It's going to make me blush if I read it on here now in front of everybody. There's no need to brag, but we appreciate all the kind words, my friend, and welcome to the Cuse Militia. New listeners getting on social media and letting us know that they're listening now all the time, and we really appreciate all of you guys, old and new. I want to thank everybody who participated in fan feedback this week. Thank you for using punctuation. It makes my job a whole lot easier, and it takes away any ammunition from Joe to make fun of me, and it's hurtful, so I appreciate it. Thank you. Also, thank you, betonline.ag, Manscaped, we appreciate you. James on guitar, thanks, buddy. That's it. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Thanks for listening to the Cuse Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.